Ben Lefebvre from Politico is on the line with us right now to talk about what this means scientifically. Hi, Ben.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay, did I pronounce your last name correctly?
Close enough.
Well, you can correct me if you want. Is it Lefebvre?
Lefebvre. Well, that's how we say it. I mean, I don't know if we're pronouncing it correctly, but that's the way we've been doing it.
You would know better than me. All right, so you heard Jennifer Granholm kind of explain what it is. Why is this such a big deal? What does this mean?
This is basically proof of concept that fusion actually works. I mean, scientists have been chasing this for decades, saying that this is the cleaner way to do nuclear power, essentially. And while it's always kind of penciled out in theory, this is the first time it's actually happened in the real world, where the scientists at the National Lab in California were able to, for all intents and purposes, create a tiny little miniature sun for about a few nanoseconds in their fusion reactor. And the bigger deal, because they've actually done that in the past, but the bigger deal to this past time was that it generated more energy than it consumed. So that was a big deal. It actually showed that they can do this to generate power, not just to suck a lot of power out of the system already.
So what does that mean way down the pike in terms of practical purposes?
Way down the pike, what they're saying now is, you mean, some people were kind of throwing the number 2040 out for a year, saying maybe by 2040, if they can get this to scale, and it's not just the government working on this, there's a lot of private companies working on this as well. If they can get this to work at scale, you basically have a power source that is doesn't emit any greenhouse gases, does not emit any kind of like solid nuclear waste that you get out of, you know, Fermi and other plants, that it would be able to use, I mean, basically hydrogen isotopes for a fuel source, which are cheap and plentiful. So it's kind of the dream, like clean, cheap, or, you know, I guess cheap in the future, clean and, you know, for all practical purposes, unlimited power that they can then power the electric grids.
Why is it unlimited?
Because hydrogen is the most common, element in the universe. What they're doing is they're basically taking some hydrogen isotopes, like things that you would combine to make hydrogen, and forcing them together. So regular nuclear power takes atoms and it splits them apart to create energy. This takes some other atoms and, you know, crushes them together to make hydrogen. And there's plenty of these atoms out there. So, again, when you create hydrogen...
So we're not going to have to import the atoms from China or Russia or something like that. Could be an independent source of energy.
Yeah, you'd have to still get the atoms, or the, you know, these things aren't exactly like falling off trees. You got to produce them in labs. But as you mentioned, you wouldn't have to like import, you know, atoms from China to do it. There wouldn't be container ships full of atoms coming our way from, you know,
and then the supply chain. Where are the atoms? They're with the Eves.
Yeah. I've watched enough 50s and 60s movies. I just want to know, can this thing be weaponized? Because everything you always see with these things, you always want to know the military takes it or whatever. Is any chance this can be weaponized?
Yeah. I mean, it's like everything can be weaponized. Your iron skill at home can be weaponized.
Your pencil.
But you remember that the national lab that's working on this is the one that's in charge of maintaining the nuclear weapons, you know, stockpile of the U.S. I wouldn't know exactly how they would weaponize it, just because that's not my forte. But having said that, I mean, they can weaponize anything. I'm sure they'll figure out something with this.
The fact that we did this here, is this proprietary in any way in terms of the technology? Are we cutting edge ahead of other nations that might be trying to do the same thing?
Yeah, to us, it's not proprietary. I mean, it's proprietary to the U.S. government, but there's also other research labs like MIT trying to do this. There's private companies doing this, but it's generally acknowledged that like the U.S. is at the forefront of this. I mean, this is something China would love to have. They're working on it, but you don't read about them making any huge breakthroughs on this kind of thing. And as part of the
you will
the
soon,
of, yeah, yeah.
And it's going to look a lot like ours.
Maybe misspelled. But one of the advantages of the national labs is that we, you know, as a country, I mean, we make this research available to other researchers. So it's kind of like it helps kind of different research teams like throughout the country work on different versions of this. So you'll hear about other companies, or I shouldn't say other companies, you hear about private companies trying to do fusion, but using, instead of like lasers like the National Labs did, using like magnetic fields or something to kind of basically crush the atoms together.
Is there going to be one person who gets credit for this when they shake it out?
Not really. I mean, it's just been under, you know, work for under research for decades. I mean, this is really a team effort.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out, like, what would they do on Tuesday that worked that didn't work all the Mondays and Fridays and Thursdays before?
Yeah. What happened was a year ago, they've been doing these little lasers. I'll explain the process. They use 192 lasers, focused it on a little diamond capsule that's about as big as a pencil eraser, and it was filled with two elements that I'm going to mispronounce. I'm not even going to try to pronounce
it.
Don't even try.
Something from the Avengers.
So they've done this a number of times, but in the past, basically the capsule wasn't the right shape. It wasn't, you know, I guess sitting still enough to kind of take in all the energy that the lasers are putting out. What they did this time is the capsule essentially was a different shape, and they were able to focus the lasers more acutely on it to heat it up to, like, I think they said 3 million degrees plus Celsius, not even Fahrenheit, but Celsius, to get it to react and basically start the fusion process. And they were able to do it, I think one of the scientists on stage today said, for as long as it takes light to move an inch, that's how long the reaction happened. But they were able to measure it. And whereas in the past, the reaction didn't happen long enough to really get any heat or enough heat to make it worth it, this time it did. So this, again, is proof of concept that if you're a researcher and you're like, am I wasting my whole life studying fusion if this is ever really going to work? Today was your like, holy crap, this actually does work. And now that we know it does work, we can refine the process further, and you know, we feel, you know, there's this confidence now that there is, you know, a treasure chest of energy at the end of the rainbow.
Wow, interesting day for sure. Thank you, Ben. Appreciate your explaining that to us.
No problem. Thanks to be here,
Ben Lefebvre there from Politico. It's pretty interesting.
Be careful what you wish for.